Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Issues 2025. I'm Steve McIntosh. Our guest is Eric Kale, Director of Wichita Sedgwick County Historical Museum. Welcome to Issues 2025. Nice to have you with us again.
Thank you, Steve.
We've done this a couple of times in the past, I think.
Yes, always appreciate being here.
I'd like to start with a big event at the museum coming up in just a few days toward the end of October, Blue Moon.
Yes.
Tell us about this and how can we get tickets?
Well, being a nonprofit, of course, we're always trying to drum up an idea on fundraising. And several years ago, we came up with the idea of a fundraising party, kind of based on the history of the once very prominent Blue Moon nightclub club here in town. And so we turned the museum auditorium into a nightclub, and we have great jazz music, and it's really fun.
Blue Moon, I never went there. Do you have any idea where it was or anything?
Yes, it was on South Oliver near the Wichita Airport at the time.
Oh, okay.
That's now the Kansas Aviation Museum.
Yeah.
And it was a big sprawling place that accommodated hundreds, if maybe not thousands of people, indoors and outdoors. And it was an entertainment hotspot all through the 40s and 50s.
Who's going to be providing our music there? At the Blue Moon.
Well, we have Donna Tucker.
Donna, yeah.
Yes, she's an internationally recognized, celebrated jazz singer and does all the classics. She could have fit in right nicely at the Blue Moon.
Yeah. What's the fare? Are you going to have pheasant under glass or whatever?
Well, we do have a nice buffet there, and it's you might think of it not as a plated dinner, but as an endless. it's always well received,
and there you go.
And then we have all kinds of refreshments, so sure. it's just like going to a club.
So, how do you get tickets to the Blue Moon?
Well, it's kind of casual. We only have about 85 spaces. There, so it's not a big event. Everyone gets a seat at a table. A lot of people invite friends, and you can just call up the museum and you make a RSVP. You can pay us when you get there, or send us a check to the historical museum.
Museum is housed in an historic building. At one time, I believe it was City Hall. Is that correct?
Yes, it was actually built as Wichita's first city hall in 1890. You know, the city was only 20 years old at that point, and they had been officing out of all kinds of rented spaces. They had just completed the Sedgwick County Courthouse north of us down the street and set right into building the city hall building. And it served as city hall until 1975. When they moved into the current building, and it was repurposed as the historical museum.
Is it on Market or Main?
It's on Main.
Main, yeah.
Right across from the old Wichita Library and Century 2.
How is a museum funded, Eric?
Well, we get funds through fundraisers like we're doing like this, and also through membership and writing grants. We also, through the years, the museum, you know, is coming up on 90 years old at this point. We've been in existence that long, since about 1939. And we've, through the years established an endowment where people leave mostly estate gifts that that we've used as a savings account, basically in the interest we operate from. And then also the City of Wichita and Sedgwick County has funded the museum's operations for years. So about a third of our funding comes through the generosity of you taxpayers out there.
What are the advantages of being a member?
Well, mostly our members are just interested in supporting the museum and staying in touch with us. So it's a good way to keep in contact. But in appreciation of that, we offer members free admission along with any guests they happen to bring. Members also receive guest passes they can just give to someone. And then we offer a discount in our museum shop or gift shop there on site.
What are the museum's hours of operation?
We're open every day except Monday. During the week, we're open from 11 to 4, and on weekends from 1 to 5.
How many employees do you have then?
Gosh, we have, when I think of staff, I think of the volunteers. We have a lot of volunteer staff, but I'm going to address just the professional staff. We have probably the full-time equivalent of about 7 people. And, you know, the typical things you'd expect at a museum, we have myself, the director, kind of the manager of the place. And then we have a curator of collections, because we have a collection of 75,000 artifacts that we've put together over, you know, almost 90 years. We have museum educators who really interpret the museum and lead tours and arrange programs. And we also have, of course, administrative staff.
Now, where do your volunteers fit into that? What do they do?
Well, top of the list of volunteers are our board of trustees. And these are people from the community who provide governance for the museum. We're a nonprofit, so that's an essential part of the operation. They are who I answer to. And there are 25 of them, and we meet every month. Then we have an array of other types of volunteers who are interested in staffing our gift shop or museum shop, volunteers who act as docents or tour guides and help our educators. Many of them are retired educators and teachers. We also have events staff. We have a young group, Teens Through Time, they call themselves. And they do special projects at the museum and are a great bunch. And, of course, that's so important in a museum like ours to have involvement of a wide range of people.
Sure. How many visitors do you see in a typical year, Eric?
Well, I wish it were more. We try not to let our small admissions price get in the way. It's just $5. But we... History museums attract the least number of visitors. Art museums and the exploration place, science centers, they kind of have us beat. So I would say that through the doors every year, we have about 15,000 people.
Yeah, you have smaller interest because it's history, but I wish more people were interested in it, but there you go.
They are when they get there.
Yeah.
They just don't realize.
There's a lot of neat stuff in there. Where do these people come from that come to see you?
Well, you know, we notice a lot of international visitors and visitors from out of town come to the museum, and they're trying to get their sea legs. They're trying to get their mind around where they are out here in Kansas, in Wichita and Sedgwick County. So it's a great orientation. And so many of our visitors are from overseas. We get a lot of people who've lived in Wichita their entire life who come through the doors and, they exclaim, well, gosh, I had no idea this place was here. So we really do what we can to attract those folks.
What's the most popular exhibit?
Well,
can you tell? I mean...
Yes, we have probably 24 different exhibits in the building, and they're all over the map as long as they have to do with local history. But I would have to say the overarching favorite of visitors is the Jones 6 automobile. And this was a Wichita-built car. We had an automobile factory here in town about 100 years ago. They built thousands of these things. However, very few of them remain, and ours is the only one on public exhibit. Just recently, four more were brought to town and reside in a private collection, and there's another private collection that has one other. So we have six of the known Jones 6 automobiles here locally. I'm hoping to get these collectors to bring them down to the museum sometime so we can have a Jones 6 fest.
Car show?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Now, I assume you entertain school tours.
Yes, we do, and we invite, you know, it's so important for young people, kids, to kind of come to terms with where they are and know that there's a history and a past and learn about that. So we would like to think that we'd attract every kid in the county to the museum before they get out of school, but we're a ways from managing to do that. School tours are just not happening like they used to when we were kids.
You're listening to Issues 2025 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Eric Kale, director of Wichita-Sedgwick County Historical Museum. Eric, what special events have you got planned for November next month?
Well, we're going to actually cap off our month of October with the Torchlight Tour.
Torchlight, okay.
It's going to be Friday the 24th, and it's really designed for members. But, you know, if your listeners want to come to that, they just need to say they've heard it on your show, and they'll be admitted. There's no charge for it. But it's a really fun, interesting tour because we darken the museum and issue flashlights. And it's not a Halloween event. There are not ghosts, but it's a really interesting way to see the museum. We got this idea from other museums across the country who've done it very successfully. So it's a fun way to go through the museum, and it's from, I believe, 6 to 8 o'clock on the 24th.
But you're not talking about actually torches like the villagers are restless.
No open flame, certainly not in a National Historic Landmark, but flashlights that the Coleman Company provided to us, and we have those. Of course, people bring their own, and we have refreshments, and a lot of the museum members come out for this.
What about November? Anything in November?
In November, we have the Wreath Festival, and this is a...
Wreath Festival.
Yes, yeah, it's actually... we do have holiday wreaths for sale. That's sort of the genesis of this event. It's in its 42nd year. But we also have our gift shop is expanded. We have lots of holiday decorations and Christmas shopping that can be done there. We also serve a lunch up in our auditorium. That's an optional thing that visitors can take advantage of. We have also a bake sale. A lot of our volunteers have baked goods, and we sell those. It's a really fun event. It's free, except for the lunch. You have to pay for that.
Okay. How about December? Christmas time, right?
Christmas time. We get a lot of visitors. And of course, that's when schools take a break, and we have some programs for that. Those can be found on our website rather than me going through them all. But they're family activities, and it's a good thing to come by and take part in. They're free.
I want to take a little tour if we can. How many floors do you have? Is it four?
Yes, it's four. For the Torchlight Tour, there'll be five because we're going to open up the tower.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Now I've actually been up there.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yes, it is. It's quite a view. Now, we don't go all the way up to the clock face, but you can look up about six stories up the tower, and we have a docent there that explains a little bit about the history of the building. So that makes five floors, but on a normal day, we have four floors.
Right. So what do you find in the first, when we go in the first floor, what do we find? I know we have the gift shop there.
Yeah, we have the museum shop. We also have Courtney and Marcellette Davis Gallery, which is sort of a welcome center. It explains the museum. It sort of orients visitors to the fact that much of what we have is just to look at, but we do have things to handle there. We have a 1948 pay telephone, which is really fun. It actually operates. We'll give you a dime for that if you're short of change. And then we have also a 100-year-old typewriter. We try to keep in good shape. We have stationery there. You can mail a letter to someone if you like. We'll pay the postage.
My grandkids, when I brought them down there the first time several years ago, those were the two things that really got their attention.
Oh, I love to hear that.
The typewriter and the payphone. They were just fascinated.
They are very popular and a lot of fun.
You can see, from studying history like that, you're amazed at how far some of the technology has come since then. It's good to look back and see what we were using when we were young.
Yeah, contrasting now and then, old and new, it gives you a boost, really.
Well, let me just interject here and tell you listeners out there, you want something to do with your grandkids, this is a lot of fun. Yeah, I think you would really enjoy that. Now, grandkids will, too, because they learn something, and some of that stuff's fascinating to look at.
Our little running joke is it's where the grandparents get to show a kid how to use a phone.
All right. What do you find on the second floor?
On the second floor, we have a series of different exhibits, and it's also our auditorium where we have a lot of programs. We have Senior Wednesdays. We're part of the Senior Wednesday group here in town. You can find information about that at seniorwednesday.org. We also have other exhibits. We have a gallery which changes frequently. Right now we have an exhibit on things in the museum's collection that have been found at thrift stores. And here, 1st of November, we're having an exhibit on Guitar Heroes of Wichita. That's sort of in support of the Vets Aid concert that Joe Walsh is holding at Intrust Bank Arena to support veterans. And we are showing, I think it's about 15 guitars of local guitar heroes, including Joe Walsh, who's from Wichita.
Right. Joe Walsh of the Eagles.
Yes, right. Yes.
Yeah. What about the third floor? What can we find there, Eric?
On the third floor, we kind of have our core exhibit, and I kind of think of this as where our museum's story starts. We really don't go back into ancient history. We start really with the settlement of Wichita right after the Civil War. So I think of it as the 1800s floor, and on that floor we have recreated a Wichita cottage, a home environment. It's several rooms, and it's what a typical home would have looked like in Wichita at the time the building was built, about 1890. We also have a core exhibit that looks at the first 50 years of settlement and the development of the city. And that was an amazing time. It went from a prairie wilderness to the fastest growing city in the United States and the dawn of the air age before that exhibit's over. We also have recreated from a single photograph we possess the building's original mayor's office right in the space where it existed. So we have the mayor's office of John Kerry. His face is carved on this in stone outside of the north entrance.
Yeah, there you go.
And he would have worked out of an office very much like the one that we have on exhibit.
What do you got on the fourth floor then, Eric?
Well, we kind of go up to the 20th century up there, and that's where the Jones 6 is. Of course, the 20th century saw all sorts of...
Did you take that up there on the elevator, or how did that get up there?
Well, we actually have a video from news footage of how we got the Jones 6 up there, and I will leave that as a surprise to visitors, but it did not come up on the elevator. We did not disassemble this car.
They put it back together. No,
yeah. And we have a whole exhibit called the Spirit of Wichita exhibit that looks at, the Depression, World War I. We have the oldest existing electric guitar in the world on exhibit up there, too. So that's a Wichita thing.
Does the museum accept private items for display?
Well, much of what we have in our collection has been given to us.
Okay.
And I would say that every day we hear from someone who has something that they think we might be able to use, and it's so appreciated. Sometimes I would say every year, and if you're a member, you see we publish this information in our newsletter. You could actually find it on our website, too, but we accept a number of things, but we're very particular because we have to, one, not already have one, which after 90 years, we have a lot of things. So many times we have an item. For example, I might be bold to say this, but we're not accepting any more pump organs. that we have represented in the collection, but we do get a lot of things that way, and occasionally we'll purchase things too if it's of significance of to local history and it has a value that's demands a price.
Eric, general question: why is history, and especially local history, why is that important?
Well, you know, I would say that any community could have a fascinating local history museum because every community has fascinating stories connected to it. So the fact that they're local makes them especially relevant. You know, it's one thing to read about world history or ancient history, but these are things that have impacted us more recently. They're things we recognize. They might be things we've wondered about or things that we're surprised to know. And when they're in your own backyard, it's special.
Do educators and school boards see the importance of teaching and learning history?
Yes, they do. And it's handled mostly through many schools through the social studies classes, and they'll work in history there. It's not much of a standalone topic that until you get into college. So it's integrated as part of part of teaching.
I want to ask you a little bit about how long have you been at the museum then?
I actually started as a volunteer after a school tour, so I've been involved with the museum to some degree. For decades now, and mostly as a volunteer, but my work in nonprofits and administration, when I saw the opportunity to apply for a paying job, I took it.
What was that? When did you start then?
2007, so I've been there a while now.
And where are you from?
I am from Wichita, actually a fifth-generation Wichitan.
Tell me a little bit about your childhood. Where'd you grow up? What time?
I went to Hyde Elementary School for 7 years there at Oliver and First Street.
Okay.
And then graduated eventually from North High School. So, and then attended WSU and got my degrees there.
So what are your plans for the future of the museum?
Well, you know, we have the long view. We hope this museum is there forever, basically. So we think about that in terms of our board, especially. Our board members serve typically a term of 3 years, and they're eligible for a second before they have to go off. And so we keep a fresh and active board, and they're constantly thinking about, you know, How to set this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNCs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Place up to last forever because it's been so beneficial to people.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say you're not looking at really going to a new building someplace.
We find this the perfect place. And to develop it in the future, it would mean expanding directly adjacent to the building. And so, but we like being downtown. It's very appropriate for us to be there. And, of course, being in that particular building really helps tell the story. You asked me earlier about the favorite artifact. It may just be the building, actually.
All right. And we're out of time. And thank you, Eric, for being with us. Our guest, Eric Kahle, Director of Wichita Sedgwick County Historical Museum. And that's all for this edition of Issues 2025. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.